This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Everybody, the legal analysis of this morning's Supreme Court ruling striking down race-based affirmative action in higher education is better handled elsewhere. The political analysis also better handled elsewhere. The business and economic analysis, well, better handled here. Something like 70 major corporations, American Express, Apple, and Procter & Gamble among them, signed on to an amicus brief in these cases, urging the court to uphold affirmative action. Quoting the brief here, promoting student body diversity on university campuses remains compelling from a business perspective. So we got economist Peter Blair Henry on the phone to talk it over. He's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford, also dean emeritus at the NYU Stern School of Business. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Kai.
When you heard about this ruling, which many people expected, what was your gut reaction, first of all?
Well, wasn't surprised. This is long expected. And my first reaction is, as an economist, I'm a trained economist, I think about things from that perspective. But also having been dean of a business school for a good part of my life and working with many corporations, I think about it from the perspective of business. So if you think about what we teach in our textbooks and what Milton Friedman said in 1970, corporations, what do they do? Corporations basically exist to maximize profits. They do other things, but primarily the role of the corporation is to maximize its profits for its owners and its shareholders. And how do corporations do that? Well, they do that by, hiring a CEO, and the CEO then makes sure that he or she has a team around them that generates high performance. And there's a lot of data at this point, a lot of studies that show that diverse teams outperform non-diverse teams. And so the ruling is going to remove one instrument that institutions of higher education have to produce diverse classes of graduates, is going to make it harder for businesses to generate the diverse teams they need to generate the performance they need to drive the profits that it is their mission to generate.
You are quoted in an amicus brief in this case as saying this: it is a significant competitive handicap if these businessmen and women have not been in an educational environment exposing them to people from diverse backgrounds. What do you suppose, then, and I ask you this as a guy who sits on corporate boards and a guy who ran a business school, you were the dean at Stern for a number of years, now what are you going to do?
Well, if you're a CEO trying to solve this problem, how do I create high-performing teams with a pipeline that's going to be potentially less diverse than it was in the future? I've got to think about new instruments, because in the past, I could just simply rely on institutions of higher education to produce that pipeline of diverse talent that I was going to need. So universities are going to need time to figure out how they are going to hit their goals. Mm-hmm. And so corporations are also going to have to solve that problem, because they can't rely on institutions of higher education to provide them the talent for those high performance diverse work teams.
So look, do you think companies in America are prepared and equipped to do that? Because if you think back 3 years to George Floyd and the promises that corporate America made on diversity, equity, inclusion, there has not been the progress one might have expected. And I guess I wonder now, with this ruling, if companies really have what it takes.
It's a wake-up call for sure. And companies are going to have to get even more serious and think about how they can find the talent. And again, go back to the point, right? The main point is that we know that diverse teams outperform non-diverse teams. That is an observed fact. So given those observed facts, and leaders of corporations are paid very well to deal with facts, they're going to have to find new ways to produce high-performing teams. And I don't think that the old ways of approaching things are going to cut it. Because to your point, Kai, in the system that previously existed, even in the years after the George Floyd incident, we know that there has not been as much progress as would be desired in the aftermath of George Floyd. Without the constraint that's now in place, the job's going to be harder, not easier than it was before.
You were, when you were at Stanford, you were a professor of international economics. You're now a fellow at an Institute for International Economics. You study it. You work on it. You're a practitioner of it. Does this ruling put American companies at a competitive disadvantage globally?
My sense is yes. This ruling takes away a tool that higher education has to to produce the talent that produces higher performing work teams for American companies. So American companies are going to have to work harder to produce the teams that have the diversity of thought that is necessary to, frankly, compete in the global economy. So just to be very specific about it, if you're trying to sell goods, services, right, to clients overseas who are by definition in different societies than you are, then you need to be able to empathize and take their point of view in order to outcompete your competitors who are also trying to sell those folks. And one of the ways in which America has been very successful in outcompeting our global rivals, American companies have been successful, is by producing teams. Again, going back to the research, more diverse teams outperform non-diverse teams in corporations. Why? Because you put around the table to making decisions a wide range of viewpoints so you can get to better competitive answers. And that job is not going to be harder.
Peter Blair Henry is at Hoover at Stanford, used to run the business school at Stern at NYU. Peter, thanks for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kai.